Easter. Whether it was last week or today in the Orthodox Church, we will have thought back to the events in the Holy Land. And some of you may have had the privilege, like me, to have visited and been a pilgrim there. A lady that I visit has a photo framed on her wall, and it was taken by my sister Mary. It just shows her back view, and as she watches, we watched with her for the sun to rise on the horizon. Slowly, wonderfully, the Sea of Galilee was bathed in awe-inspiring, peaceful light. We had known what would happen, but Jesus' disciples, after the crucifixion, didn't understand its true meaning and had gathered together in uncertainty, in fear of retaliation against them by the Jews, and feeling that everything that they'd believed in from their time with Jesus had come to nothing. Can we blame and judge them? Would we have been any different? But then Jesus stood among them and greeted them with the normal, everyday Eastern blessing. Peace be with you. But from Jesus, it meant so much more, and for us too. His resurrection had not erased his wounds. They remained part of him, just as our inner and perhaps visible wounds remain part of our story of healing. Christ carries the reality of pain, but he also transforms it. We rejoice with those disciples in their joy. Jesus blessed them again in the words of the peace, breathed on them to equip them for their mission ahead, to share the call and forgiveness of Christ. But that forgiveness would be realized only for those who truly believed. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith grows through questioning, wrestling, and sincerely seeking the truth. That is what confronted Thomas when he was with the disciples a week later. They told him of Jesus' appearing, but he had to believe for himself through uncompromising honesty. Jesus came again. Peace be with you. No scolding, no reprimand, only loving understanding. And Thomas believed. That is God's gift to each one of us, to fill and direct our living, our sharing, and our dying. Some of you may have grandchildren and may have the role of looking after them sometimes. And there's a lady at Trinity, very gifted lady, lovely storyteller. And she told me during the week that she had gone to collect her 4-year-old grandson from school. And he's come out and he told her what he'd learnt. And to encourage him, she said, "Oh, I didn't know that." And he said, "No, you wouldn't. You're not four. However old or young we are, as Christians, we have a mission through our living to reflect all that Jesus means to us. We could be the spark to ignite hope, peace, amazement, and joy, and faith itself in the life of someone else. What a privilege, and what a responsibility too, for we may be the only Bible that they will read." Just outside the Romanian Orthodox Cathedral, where there was a traffic jam last night, I was standing waiting to cross a couple of weeks ago, and there was a man standing there looking at his mobile phone and looking this way and that way. So I just said to him, "Do you need any help?" And from his phone, he slowly read out 1, 9, 2. And I said, "Do you want a bus of the number 192? "Yes." So I said, "I'm going in that direction. I will take you." And we crossed the road. And as we walked along, I said to him, "You have some English?" "A little." So I said, "Where do you come from?" And he said, "Georgia." And then without any prompting, anything said by me, he said, "I'm a Christian. Orthodox," in case I didn't understand, Roman Catholic. And by that time, we'd got up to my church, Trinity. And I said, "This is my church." And he looked up at the spire and he said, "A wonderful church." He hadn't been in, he hadn't met the people, but he just saw the outside of the church. And there at the bus stop was a 192 bus waiting, so he left. But it made me think, how often do we say to someone or a stranger, "I am a Christian"? We live our lives, we pray, we are Christians, but how often do we share that message to give others hope and to encourage ourselves as well? In our Bible reading from Paul's first letter to Peter, for the churches of today's northern Turkey, it starts with the words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," adapted from an ancient Jewish lesson. These early Christians were feeling set apart from the community through their newfound faith, some facing discrimination, but they were strengthened through their gift of community. They were learning to support each other through the love of Jesus. We may not be persecuted for our faith, but here in the West, the church suffers more from a sense of indifference, which is now joyfully being changed through more young people spiritually searching for life's true meaning. Sometimes we can search, and I've been searching for a hymn, maybe a worship song, that had some words in, and last night I found it. And it says, "Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." Each of us has to make a choice. Live through faith with Jesus or not. It's that simple. But our answer will either feed us and others or starve us. Choices. You may have heard a recent advert, if you ever listen to Classic FM, and it makes me smile. And there's a man says, "I want to buy a pair of jeans." And the lady assistant reels off all the different types of jeans he could have. And she ended up with a very bored voice. There's a pause. And then the man says, "Blue?" All he wanted was a pair of blue jeans, but he was given so many choices. All that Jesus wants is for us to say, "I believe, I want to love you and follow you and be loved by you." So may we each find the peace, the healing, the commitment, trust and joy, living in faith with our risen Lord. Alleluia, our Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Thanks be to God.